Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Are you the right person for the job? Today on Advanced. Hello, listeners. Wherever you are, whether you're at work or at home, we hope you're having a great day. My name is Garrett, and we're back with a whole new lesson today. We're jumping into our career article, and I am joined by Heather.
Hi.
Hello, Heather. Today we're talking about jobs, specifically getting a job can always be a difficult and stressful process for many people. I know I've had a few different jobs in my life, and Heather, I want to know if you've had any interesting jobs in your working career.
Yeah, I think thinking about it, the most interesting job that I've had that surprises a lot of people was when I served in the military. I served in the U.S. Army for over 6 years, and my job was being a cook, so just cooking a lot of food for a lot of people. But towards the end of my career, I actually worked in a military prison briefly before I got out, and I think that was the most interesting job I've worked at.
Yeah, it sounds like a pretty challenging atmosphere to work in.
It was definitely an experience and super, a lot more intense, sometimes fun, but happy to be here.
Yeah, definitely a different environment here. I haven't had all that many jobs. I've had a few of them. I think the most interesting one for me was managing a small business. When I was in college, I managed a kind of trendy coffee shop right next to the university for almost 5 years. With probably had 25 employees at a time. It was very busy and got to meet all different kinds of people in there. It was like a mix between sorority girls to hippies to college professors, but it was always a lot of fun. As part of that job for me, I had to interview people. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. Our article is called Overqualified and Overlooked. Before we go into it, Heather, what does it mean to be overqualified?
So when you're overqualified, it basically means you have too much experience or maybe certifications to do a specific thing.
Yeah, seems kind of like a contradiction here. We always want to have really good qualifications when we're looking for a job, whether that's like a college diploma or other kinds of certificates, or of course, a lot of experience. But today we're saying maybe you can have too much of that and not get a job. Mm-hmm. You might be overlooked. And so we'll talk all about that as we jump into our article. Please make sure you open up your Advanced magazines. If you don't have one, go ahead and pause our show right now. Go out and get one. It's a great way to support us and to follow along with today's lesson. Now, let's jump into the article.
Overqualified and overlooked. When your strengths raise red flags for employers. The more qualified you are today, the harder it is to get hired. A recent study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that when job candidates were perceived as high capability, highly experienced, highly credentialed, or simply more advanced than what a role required, they were less likely to be hired than lower capability applicants, even when all other factors were equal. The researchers discovered something most hiring managers would never admit. Candidates who appear too good for a job are viewed with suspicion, not because of any specific flaw, but because of what they might do. They might leave too soon. They might expect too much compensation. They might act superior, they might disrupt the hierarchy, or they might just get bored and leave. So, employers hedge. They pass on the most capable candidates, not because they doubt their skills, but because they fear the candidate's motives. Increasingly, the overqualified label is used to avoid confronting deeper forms of bias against age, against education. These concerns are more emotional than rational, rooted in fear, insecurity, and a desire for safety and steadiness. Fortunately, this bias can be overcome.
Well, this is an interesting article, and we have a lot of interesting English to talk about in it. You can see at the top of our article right there, we have a little tagline. It says, "When your strengths raise red flags for employers." Let's start off talking about that. Heather, what does it mean if something raises red flags?
So if something raises a red flag, it sends an alert or something that we should be cautious of.
Yeah, something to pay attention. It lets you know there might be a problem. And so potentially your strengths or the things you're good at could actually raise warnings for people that might want to hire you. We see at the top there, the more qualified you are today, the harder it is to get hired. Heather, have you experienced this at all?
I think overall I've been very fortunate that I have not necessarily experienced that. I think something that was a bit of a challenge when I moved to Taiwan, I graduated with a master's degree in teaching English as a second language. So I would say on paper, very qualified.
Yeah.
But I think I'm also somebody who undersells my skills, being like, I didn't have a lot of experience teaching. So yes, on paper I had the credentials, but I didn't necessarily have the work experience. So where do I fit into the teaching scene on like what kind of role should I be looking for? So I think I'm kind of like an in-between. Or
yeah.
I was at the time very like in between on where I should go.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, there's a lot to consider when looking for a job or figuring out what you're qualified for. When we jump into this topic, there's a story that jumps right to my mind, and it's a story of my mother. She always told me this growing up, that right out of college, she needed a job and wasn't super picky about what it was, but she knew it wasn't going to be a long-term thing. So she tried to get a job at the popular fast food restaurant Taco Bell.
Oh, really?
Did she get the job? No. She got turned down from Taco Bell, which I always thought sounded so funny. And the reason is they didn't think she was going to stay for very long, which is probably true. But, you know, it doesn't take that many qualifications to work at a place like that. All right, let's read on. A recent study published in the Journal of Personality and Social Psychology found that when job candidates were perceived as high capability, highly experienced, highly credentialed, or simply more advanced than what a role required, they were less likely to be hired than lower capability applicants, even when all other factors were equal. That is a really long sentence, but we have a few descriptions of these people that have really good qualifications. Heather, could you tell us about this term, highly credentialed?
So to be highly credentialed is to have a lot of certifications. So credentials is a synonym, essentially, for that. And so if you are highly credentialed, it means maybe you have multiple degrees or multiple certifications saying that you are able or have the knowledge to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. So some people they've got a lot of experience, a lot of credentials, and they're just much more advanced than what is required. But this says, according to this research, they're less likely to be hired than lower capability applicants. That word applicant here describes someone who is applying for something. When you go out to try and get a job, we say you're applying for that job. Well, the researchers discovered something most hiring managers would never admit. Heather, what is that?
The candidates who appear too good for a job are often viewed with suspicion.
Yeah, they're viewed with suspicion. These hiring managers aren't sure what is going on. It says not because of any specific flaw. There's nothing especially wrong with these applicants, but because of what they might do. What are they going to do? Well, one thing is, they might leave too soon. Just like that story I shared earlier about my mom, the restaurant thought she would leave too soon, and so she was viewed with suspicion and didn't get that job. They might also expect too much compensation. That makes sense, right?
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, absolutely. If you have you worked really hard, you went to school for a long time, you have a lot of experience, you're going to expect to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, companies maybe don't have that budget or just don't want to pay all that money out. They might act superior. This one surprises me a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a little bit surprised by that too. But I guess it's a matter of personality. Maybe if the person is employed and they feel like they are above the work, they might talk to others in a superior way because they do have the experience and they are in a role that they feel might be slightly below their skill set.
Sure. I actually think back to when I was managing the coffee shop in college. We did get some people who wanted to work there who knew a lot about coffee and kind of boasted about it. They wanted to make fancy things. But it was clear that they weren't someone who was going to be easy to train. They had their way of doing things when we really just needed someone who was humble and willing to learn kind of our way of doing things. I imagine a lot of companies are that way.
It makes me think of that phrase, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yeah,
so I think once you get into a way of doing things, sometimes you might feel threatened or frustrated when someone who might not have been doing something as long as you is correcting you or showing you how a different company might be doing something.
Sure. Speaking of how companies do things, of course, the bosses that are already there, they want to keep that authority. And that is kind of described in this next sentence. They might disrupt the hierarchy. What is hierarchy?
So that is a system of organization in which people or things are divided into levels of importance. That word always makes me think of like nobility, like kings and queens.
Me
what
too.
About you?
Yeah, absolutely. I loved learning about the Middle Ages when I was a kid and thinking of you've got like the king, then you've got nobles, and then maybe merchants,
mm-hmm.
and then the normal people, the serfs at the bottom. But we use that word to describe kind of the relationships between people at a company too. You've got maybe the owner, then you've got your top managers, your maybe C-suite, your CEOs, you've got middle managers, and you've got, you know, other employees at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the hierarchy is how those different groups interact with each other. Well, these overqualified candidates might also just get bored and leave. Maybe the job isn't challenging enough for them based on their skill sets. So employers hedge. What does that mean?
So to hedge something is to avoid giving a direct answer to a question.
Yeah. You avoid giving a direct answer to a question. Does that fully describe what's going on in this sentence? Not fully.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Employers hedge. Basically, what they're doing is guessing as to what might happen and taking the less risky option. Sometimes we use that word to describe how we talk in like arguments. So you might not give a direct statement about something that you're not totally sure about. You might add the word maybe a lot just to make sure that you're not caught saying something that's incorrect. So that would be hedging.
Is it also used to avoid conflict? Like they might hedge to just avoid making the situation more intense than it needs to be?
I think absolutely. So here, employers hedge. They're not sure what these overqualified candidates will be like if they did hire them. But just to be safe, they maybe choose someone who's a little bit more safe,
mm-hmm.
a little bit more of a sure thing. Well, these employers pass on the most capable candidates, not because they doubt their skills, but because they fear the candidates' motives. Well, what motives might these candidates have?
So a motive they might have is coming into the company on this lower level position, and once they see their value and their skills, maybe weaseling their way into a higher role than what was originally offered.
Yeah, absolutely. Or trying to find those better roles at a different company.
Mm-hmm.
Like you learn some things or you get some connections here and then you take them and go somewhere else, which the company, of course, doesn't want that. A motive is kind of your reason for doing something,
mm-hmm.
Right? And increasingly, the overqualified label is used to avoid confronting deeper forms of bias against age, against education. So maybe the employers actually are looking down on these candidates for another reason, but they just say that they're overqualified.
Mm-hmm.
I think of a word I hear a lot is something like ageism.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, you're not treating someone well based on their age, even though they're very qualified. A lot of companies do want younger people.
Yeah, I think they even advise when you are building your resume for the first time or a second or third time even, to take out the dates that you graduated you get to a certain age, because they might look at that date and get an idea of how old you might be. But just because of that, it doesn't imply like your age or experience necessarily.
Yeah, absolutely. That's some interesting advice, yeah. So these employers have these concerns. We see they're more emotional than rational. There's no real reason why these people maybe shouldn't get that job, but companies try and play things safe. We see, though, at the end, fortunately, this bias can be overcome. There is something that these candidates can do. Let's learn more about that in our next reading.
Rewriting the story. Researchers found that when highly capable applicants took three specific actions, the hiring bias against them disappeared. These actions include 1, high commitment to the company and role. 2, organizational alignment, culture and values. And 3, hunger for the job at hand, not just any job. Overall, the biggest fear hiring managers have about high capability candidates is that they're secretly holding out for something better. Of course, many are. Like their search for the right culture fit, employers these days aren't just hiring for skills, they're hiring commitment. If they believe you'll accept another offer or back out after an offer is extended, they won't take the risk. The study found that even the most qualified candidates were viewed more positively and more likely to be hired when they showed high levels of commitment to both the company and the position. Real, observable, targeted commitment.
So there is something that overqualified candidates or applicants can do to potentially get that job. We see at the beginning of this section that researchers found 3 different things or actions that these applicants could take. Heather, could you tell us what the first one is?
So the first action is high commitment to the company and role. So, you know, being very much invested into the company and what the company does and the role that you are applying for.
Yeah, I think that is a good suggestion. I think it can be hard to show that in an interview, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can show that you really care about this job and the company, that could help. The second one here is organizational alignment. That's culture and values. What do we mean by that?
So culture and values, it's the way that a company approaches certain things and the certain things that they value as an organization. So our company, what would you say like our some of our culture and values might be?
Yeah, I would say our culture and values. Well, our company really values people kind of taking care of each other and not just focusing on whatever department you work on in. So things like we have a weekly meeting with the whole company on Mondays that really hopes to kind of redirect all of us to be on the same page. And so every company, every organization has their own culture and values. I would think of maybe a company like Patagonia, the clothing company. Mm-hmm. They really care about protecting the environment. Mm-hmm. So if at an interview for a job there, you're able to show that in your own life, you care about those things too, that would be helpful potentially in getting the job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have one more here. You want to show hunger for the job at hand. Not just any job. So showing that you're not just looking for a job because you need money, but you really want to do whatever you're applying for. That does seem very important as well. Well, overall, the biggest fear hiring managers have about high-capability candidates is that they're secretly holding out for something better. Are they?
Of course, many are. I think that especially when you're going into, if you're a lower level employee, I think you're always, and it's important to always think about the next step. I think sometimes people get too complacent in certain roles and then they don't progress.
Yeah, so. That's definitely true. So it's important for that applicant to have that mindset, but maybe not to show it in the interview.
Oh, no.
Is what we're seeing here. You want to be really focused on the job that you are applying for. You want to show them that you care about doing that. Like their search for the right culture fit, employers these days aren't just hiring for skills. They're hiring commitment. They're trying to hire people who want to stay at that job, want to do it well, and fit in with the company. If they believe you'll accept another offer or back out after an offer is extended, they won't take the risk. So that's interesting. I'm surprised it says that if they think you'll accept another offer, because that's okay, right? They're just offering you a job, but you take another one. It doesn't feel like they've lost all that much, potentially.
I think it depends on how many applicants they are applying for, or maybe how well of a fit you are for that specific role. Yeah, I think it's important when you go into interviews to maybe not be fully transparent. I don't know. It's like a balance of you want to be transparent and you want to be authentic. But do you want to tell them that, like, hey, I have other opportunities, because it can backfire? Like, if you say, oh, I have other places that I'm interviewing at, or I have other offers, it might make you look even more enticing because it shows that other companies are interested in your skill set. But at the same time, would an employer want to take that risk? So I think it's a balancing act on like how much you want to disclose.
Yeah, it probably depends on kind of what other options they have, what the other candidates are like. So yeah, friends, you'll have to figure that out when you're applying for jobs. how transparent do you want to be with your process, with, we said already, your age, and then also what other jobs you're looking into? Either way, though, you want to show that you will be committed to that role if you get that job, because like we see here, those organizations don't want to take that risk. The study found that even the most qualified candidates were viewed more positively and were more likely to be hired when they showed high levels of commitment to both the company and the position. Real, observable, targeted commitment. Heather, do you have any other ideas about how you could show that you will be committed during kind of an interview process?
So I guess I can speak specifically for when I applied for my role here. My background is in linguistics and teaching English as a second language, but I didn't have any like tangible credentials for like editing. Like I obviously have experience in editing because I think we edit things every day, especially in school and things like that. So one way that I showed a level of commitment before I came to my interview is I completed a credential in editing to show that, hey, although I might not be the perfect fit because I don't have a lot of experience in this specific role. I am showing that I am someone who takes initiative and wants to learn. And another thing I did was also just research the company pretty extensively. I watched a lot of episodes of Let's Talk in English and Studio Classroom in advance to kind of get a general idea of like how the company is and the kinds of things that we do.
Yeah.
And it gave me a deeper idea of how to best prepare and present myself for the company when I came to the interview.
I think those are great, great suggestions. I do know it's important when you're applying for those jobs, really research the company. Don't go in there not having any idea what the company does. That way, if you do that research, you'll be showing that you care, we said, about maybe the culture and values there. Of course, after you get the job, you're going to learn a lot more. Things won't be exactly like you see on a website, but it's important to put in that work. Well, friends, what do you think? Are you overqualified for your job? Do you have any other skills or tips that helped you get jobs in the past? We do have more to say on this topic and this article, but this is about all the time that we have for today. You'll have to come back again tomorrow. But for now, my name is Garrett.
And I'm Heather.
And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.